Good evening. Last time we completed looking at the trainings which are shared with a practitioner of initial capacity, and we are now starting to dive into the trainings which are shared with practitioners of intermediate capacity. The trainings of a practitioner of initial capacity, this expression can be made in two ways. There are the trainings just for a practitioner of initial capacity, and trainings that are shared with a practitioner of initial capacity. So the difference is the word just for or shared with. So what is the difference then? So the practices themselves are the same. The result that follows from these practices, an excellent rebirth, that is the same. But the motivation through which they engage in these practices, that is very different. So whilst the result will still be an excellent rebirth, the purpose of wanting an excellent rebirth is different. So trainings that are just for a practitioner of initial capacity, they will, having seen, recognize the impermanence of this precious human rebirth, and that there's the possibility of falling into the lower realms in the next life. They go for heartfelt refuge and strive to abandon non-virtue and accumulate virtue in order to have an excellent rebirth. So those are the trainings just for a practitioner of initial capacity. But when it's expressed as it is in the Lamrim, trainings shared with a practitioner of initial capacity. Here, a practitioner actually has a goal higher or beyond merely a good rebirth, that of either liberation from suffering, liberation from samsara, or even Buddhahood. So one of those two higher goals is their objective. But they have the clear recognition that the attainment of such a goal will take lifetimes, therefore they need to be sure to attain another excellent rebirth. They need to be sure they do not fall into the lower realms where any hope of spiritual development is lost. So therefore, a practitioner who is engaging in the training shared with a practitioner of initial capacity will be engaging in those trainings, but not with the motivation just to receive that result. They will be wanting a result. Whilst they're wanting the result of an excellent rebirth, the reason for wanting it is so they can continue their spiritual journey, progressing towards liberation and enlightenment. So they too, having looked at the impermanence of this precious human rebirth, the possibility of falling into the lower realms in their next life, go for heartfelt refuge and abandon non-virtue and accumulate virtue, but so as to gain an excellent rebirth in order to continue their spiritual journey. So that's the difference between the trainings just for a practitioner of initial capacity and the trainings shared with a practitioner of initial capacity. The practitioner who is engaging in the trainings of a practitioner of initial capacity, so that with a focus just on attaining a good rebirth, they are only engaging in these practices so as not to fall to the lower realms in their next life, but to attain another excellent rebirth. They are not thinking beyond their next rebirth. They certainly are thinking beyond this life, but they're not thinking beyond the life just past this one. So they're not, and therefore they clearly are not thinking about gaining liberation from samsara. They're thinking no further than their very next rebirth, let alone gaining freedom from samsara. So this attitude, when compared to a practitioner of intermediate or great capacity, is much narrower because their focus is just their next life. But a practitioner who's engaging in the trainings shared with a practitioner of initial capacity, they have as their actual goal either liberation from samsara, freedom from suffering, or Buddhahood for the sake of others. That is their real goal. But they've come to understand that if they start now striving in the trainings of a practitioner of initial or great capacity without first having cultivated within themselves the trainings shared with a practitioner of initial capacity, they will not achieve their goal because the foundation hasn't been developed. So therefore, they engage in the trainings shared with a practitioner of initial capacity so as to develop a strength of mind, a courage, a focus, a courage and a focus, those two qualities, a courage and a focus of mind, so as to then be able to successfully engage in the trainings of a practitioner of initial capacity, intermediate capacity, and from there, perhaps, to go on to the trainings that are unique to a practitioner of great capacity. Our focus here is on the trainings that are shared with practitioners of initial capacity and our intermediate capacity, because of having as our final goal Buddhahood for the sake of all beings.
So that you drink them, you say, and the drink them, lamna. Tarpa rani tarpa tarpe kuma tumne digri e sambege ta tarpa tumne digri disa tarpe ge di
Therefore, in the same way that the trainings of a being of initial capacity has these two parts, either those who are just going for the goal of the being of initial capacity, or those who are going for a greater goal, but know this is where they have to start. So too, with the trainings of a practitioner of intermediate capacity. So there, these trainings, it can be expressed in the same two ways. Trainings just for a practitioner of intermediate capacity, or the trainings shared with a practitioner of initial capacity. So what differentiates the just of or shared with is not the trainings, but it's the motivation by which one engages in training one's mind. This is where the difference is, in the motivation, not in the practices, not in the trainings. So the trainings, so a practitioner who engages in the trainings of someone of initial capacity, but just of intermediate capacity, their goal is that of a practitioner of intermediate capacity, which is individual liberation, their own liberation from the suffering of cyclic existence. This is their goal. Whereas those who are engaging in the trainings shared with the practitioner of initial capacity will engage in the same trainings or train their mind in the same way, but under a different motivation. Their motivation is to become a Buddha for the sake of all sentient beings. But they know that in order to become a Buddha for the sake of all sentient beings, they have to develop bodhicitta. This requires love and compassion. To develop love and compassion, the love and compassion of the Mahayana, to be precise, the love and compassion of the Mahayana, the practitioner has to have developed a wish to gain freedom from suffering. They have to themselves have given rise to a wish to gain freedom from the sufferings of samsara, and or to express it differently, they need to have given rise to a determination to gain freedom from samsara for themselves in order to give rise to that wish for others. I will gain freedom from suffering gets developed into I and all others will gain freedom from suffering. Therefore, they recognize they have to train in the practices of a practitioner of intermediate capacity in order to develop the foundation required to develop the love and compassion of the Mahayana and thereby enter into the trainings unique to a practitioner of great capacity.
Tomorrow, Lamir Baches, the old Dangi, 심지어 담지에 안산이 고마 토바 지기 디 토바 님은 제바 당보 장규 때 삼단의 콜리 동안에 저에게 달로 장 디넬로 자능이 잠니 조금 공기 세배 삼여로다 디니게 안타바 좀 주님의 지기 세배 디니게 뭐가 여긴지 디니 아니 지난 지제발 당보 늦어서 자랑 콜리 동안에 저에게 탑람디 로장고도 세배 삼다나디 다고 달스네 탈바짬 지기도 말씀 받지 Not Kuru Dungal Drake, Tarlo Jangye, D. Jenangi, Jamnizi, Jigin Sebeta, Shangi, Shangi, Tanda Jigin Sebe, some of the Yedi Rwada, Dineza, Dineza, Dinigi, some of the Yedi Gain, Dambodi, Korongian, Dangi, Kasuo, Kuru Dungal Drake, Tablo Jayagi, Tabuko, Dunyaki Samba, Jay, Lojang, Dinning Yamlin Jayandela, and
So a practitioner who is training their mind in these practices that are just of intermediate capacity, they certainly accept Buddhahood as possible, but they'll look at the attainment of Buddhahood and they'll say, it's beyond what I'm capable of or I want to do. It's just, yeah, it's too much. It's too much. I want to bring an end to my suffering. I want to gain freedom from suffering. So they will engage in developing the foundation of the trainings of practitioner of initial capacity, and then building upon that foundation the trainings of that are just for a practitioner of intermediate capacity, with the goal of attaining that result, their own individual liberation. But someone who's engaging in the trainings shared with a practitioner of intermediate capacity will have developed the foundational trainings of the practices shared with a practitioner of initial capacity, so they have this determined, courageous, focused mind, and then know that in order to actually develop the love and compassion of the Mahayana, they have to develop a determined attitude for liberation from suffering for myself, and as the basis to develop that attitude for all beings. Then, with that in mind, with the final goal of Buddhahood for the sake of others, they engage in the trainings shared with a practitioner of intermediate capacity so as to develop a deep repulsion, or maybe disenchantment for cyclic existence, and on that basis of wanting to gain freedom from suffering, they know they have the basis then to develop the love and compassion of the Mahayana. This is similar to school children who are working to finish year 12, and amongst those who are, while they are all striving to come to the end of their schooling, there will be those who are looking forward to the end of their schooling so they can start working immediately. There'll be others looking forward to the end of their schooling so that they can go on to university. So they have two different paths they want to follow, but they both both recognize the need to accomplish the completion of their schooling first. So this is similar.
Then, Jibu Chunga Lam Yirin Bigul, Lo Changwa de la Mune, Lo Changsu Sheva Sashikur. That Samjas to the Jibu Chunga, the Tumo Lam Yirin by Shia Sane, that Jibu Chunga, the Tumo Lam Yirin by Shigin Shiku Bigim, did a separate Shia Shore, but did a Samjasibore.
So on page 153, we have this first section here, which that title, Training the Mind in the Stages of the Path of, shared in common with persons of medium capacity, is actually the name of this chapter, but it's only one page. So the sub-outlining, so they've used it here, and the sub-outline for this first big paragraph is the transition. So the topic here of this first big paragraph is the transition from the trainings shared with a practitioner of initial capacity to the trainings of a practitioner shared with a practitioner of intermediate capacity.
So
reading the entire first paragraph, made many changes, but most of the changes are just vocabulary that we usually use. There are a few corrections, but we'll go through it again. Thus, having recollected death and contemplated how you fall into the lower realms after death, you turn your mind away from this world and strive for fortunate rebirths. Then you give up bad actions through the common or shared refuge practice and through gaining certainty in virtuous and non-virtuous actions and their effects. By then putting effort into accomplishing virtue, you will indeed attain the state of the fortunate rebirth. However, this is not considered sufficient here. Rather, after you develop the attitude in common with persons of initial capacity, you develop the attitude in common with persons of intermediate capacity, which counteracts clinging to cyclic existence as a whole. Based on that, you will develop bodhicitta and be led onto the path of persons of great capacity. Therefore, train in the attitude common to persons of intermediate capacity. Even though you attain the state of a god or a human in this manner, you do not pass beyond compositional suffering. Therefore, it is a mistake to consider that state to be naturally happy, since in actuality it is devoid of happiness, and in the end it is bad because you will certainly fall into the lower rebirths again.
Maybe to a Jewa Chilling Gore, Jewa Lena Cadilling, Kawaling or Sin, and a Dendra Tangadu in me, Mandula Jewa Limbaina, and a Yawa Ida Tundor Kiwa, Telekiwa Lena, Taduma Dinit in Pokme by Yore Essen, Ding Sama Tangore Essen, and the Kibu Chung, Tumor Lamir Makas on Yamaj, Shevadida, Mambu Shevad Dinade, Donanium Buddy to Tushesi, Chiwa Chif, Chiwa Champala, Chiwa Metawa Chesuce, Shinang Andrew, Tunga Samtul Sadi, Odish.
The first word, thus. So thus shows this connection between what has just been completed and what is starting now. So there's this connection. So the overall paragraph here is called a transition. So we're transitioning from the trainings of shared with the practitioner of initial capacity, now coming into those which are shared with the practitioner of intermediate capacity. So that's the word thus. And then it comes a brief reminder of some of the key trainings that we have just been looking at. Thus, having recollected death, so this was the presentation on death and impermanence, with its three major points, and there are nine subpoints where we looked at how death is certain, but the time and manner of the death is of our death is uncertain. That this can come about. Not only at any time, but for such a wide variety of reasons. There are very few that sustain life, but death, there are so many causes, or conditions rather, that can bring about our death. And also the certainty based on that so many, all the famous people of the past have all died, so certainly will we. So that was the second, the certainty of death, the uncertainty of the time of death, and the time of death, only Dharma will help. And then that was followed by, says here, death and contemplated how you fall into the lower realms after, lower rebirths after death. So this is one of the two possibilities, and there are only two. We may well fall into the lower realms after we have died. And once there, not only is our suffering intense, but we are helpless to do anything about our situation. All we can do is wait for that karma, endure the suffering, waiting for that karma to be completed. So that's the one possibility. The second is to be reborn in the higher realms. So after looking at death and impermanence, we looked in some detail at the sufferings of the lower realms, then briefly at those of the higher realms. It continues. And you turn your mind away from this world and strive for fortunate rebirths. A key part of the reflection in the training shared to the practitioner on the initial capacity is recognizing that this opportunity that we have, this precious opportunity, is finite. And whilst we live under the delusion that there is an immensity of time still ahead of us, we cannot say that with any certainty. And moreover, when our time of death is approaching and we finally recognize it, there will be nothing that we can do then. All the wealth we have saved, what can that do? We would have received by now all the medical care we could have. We can't bribe our way out of death. Our possessions won't help us. Our dear loved ones can't help us. And this body that we protected so lets us down at this final moment. Only then the causes that we have created over this life will dictate what happens to us. It's not in our control. So recognizing this then, one strives to accumulate the causes for an excellent rebirth. And that when one actually has given rise to the mind, the attitude of a practitioner of initial capacity, one's attitude towards the attainment of this life's pleasures has changed radically. And our attitude towards this life's problems has changed radically. We'll enjoy this life's pleasures, but we won't seek them. We won't enjoy this life's problems, but we won't be overwhelmed by them. This is the mark of someone who has come to develop the attitude shared with a practitioner of initial capacity. They have come to recognize that this life is fleeting, it's largely done, and what's important is the causes that are created for the next rebirth. Coming to recognize that right now I can influence my next rebirth, but when this life ends, then there'll be nothing to do. So that's their focus. So the practitioner has come to a point where they have a sustained attitude of striving for an excellent rebirth. In other words, this is the thought that is dominating them, not the achievement of this life's pleasures or overcoming this life's problems. Those are placed now more in the background. Rather, what's at the forefront of the mind is achieving causes that will lead to an excellent rebirth. And this attitude has come about through deep and repeated reflection on having this, the potential that comes with this precious human rebirth, but its impermanence, and the two paths that lie ahead of oneself, either the suffering of the lower realms or another excellent rebirth. This then, those meditations lead to one going for heartfelt refuge to the three jewels. One turns to them for protection, recognizing that there lies the capacity to gain protection from falling to the lower realms. So this is the common attitude of going for protecting refuge, common or shared attitude of going for protecting refuge.
Maybe
So I forgot to read in the last, with the last segment, and you turn your mind away from this world and strive for fortune and rebirths. Then you give up bad actions through the common refuge practice, and so now the new part, and through gaining certainty in virtuous and non-virtuous actions and effects. So just, the translation's fine, just the word order is a bit different. In the Tibetan, the very end of the sentence is, and give up bad actions. So that hasn't been, again, that hasn't talked on that yet. But now to go on this part, and through gaining certainty in virtuous and non-virtuous actions and their effects. This is what follows when one has gone for heartfelt refuge, or protecting refuge to the three jewels. One then is open and receptive to the guidance on what is virtuous and non-virtuous, because largely one can come to understand this through the presentation of the Buddha. Reasoning can lead us only so far. So one needs to have been open, one's mind opened through the practice of refuge. Then one comes to understand what is non-virtuous, and the various components of the, or factors or aspects required to make an action a non-virtuous karmic imprint, and one comes to understand then what to refrain from, and then likewise one understands what is virtuous and engages in that. So this is in the chapter that we completed last time. So through gaining certainty in virtuous and non-virtuous actions and their effects, one then through that certainty, so the certainty is where it would be inconceivable to do something non-virtuous, be inconceivable to do anything that is not within the bounds of what is ethical, within the restraints of what is ethical. So this is this gaining certainty. Then one is abiding in ethics. And this is the first of the actual practices that one engages in, ethical restraint, and one continues in others of generosity, patience, enthusiastic perseverance, and making prayers. So in this way, one is engaging in ethics, and one is also abandoning non-virtue. So this we have at the beginning of our sentence, or near the beginning of the sentence, then you give up bad actions. So one gives up bad actions by abiding in what the restraints or the ethical boundaries, and engages in other virtuous practices, generosity and so forth.
Lunga yusin yeje tombo kutombo kure se tenige dat 所以我觉得这个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地方是一个地 sik du du ruwa de kewa diba pong matmin duwa. Chizan diba pong shi de ngan zu kizhin yima jiwa chung yi jeba shi du sok chiba pong ya ma jimba limba wa riri di ma shi. Dine diba yang ching yi chaba de yimbo topshu kone pang gore se shatang di kizhin ma sun ruwa diba pong nani di shatang du ruwa re. Kewa dhubra de da ngan zu kizhin dine de kewa dhubra le bhe gore se ne nyamnen che gore pezo che gore se sun ruwa de sik tor du shi. Dine de kizhin yima ngan zu jiwa chung yi tumwa lam rinba shibi kabla ngan zu kar sun ruwa se ne. अन्य चिंबा चुड़ैल सेवा अन्य चुड़ैल अन्य देशी देशों के आधा अन्य चाह आधा गोवा आधा अन्य जिक दोस्तियाँ जो हो रहे हैं ये चाहे युरुआ ना दिन केवल जो ना दिन है देशों चाहे युरुआ.
So we're looking at the sentence. Then you give up bad actions. So this giving up bad actions, this comes about through having reflected. Or coming to understand what the 10 non-virtues are with their various aspects. So you understand what is non-virtuous and you understand the ripening results that followed from there. So that came later in the chapter. And one then develops the determination, I do not want to suffer ripening results. Therefore, I will refrain from engaging in the 10 non-virtues or abide in the ethical restraint of abandoning the 10 non-virtues, or can be expressed as, I will abide in the ethical restraint of restraining my body, speech, and mind, or the ethics of restraining my body, speech, and mind. So this then is the act of abandoning non-virtue. That being said though, one will still, despite one's best aspiration, still accrue non-virtue, therefore later followed the means by which to purify non-virtue, and that we looked at last time, the four opponent powers. So within the four opponent powers, there's a power of the antidote, and the power of the antidote is any virtuous activity which serves to purify the non-virtue accumulated. So this could be any virtuous activity. One may make prostrations, may make offerings, one do some meditation or recitation, whatever it may be. But one may also decide to, through offerings, make practice generosity, meditate on patience, cultivate enthusiasm or enthusiastic perseverance or rejoice. So we see there, within the four opponent powers, we have the accumulation of virtue, which is the antidotal power. So whilst it's not expressed explicitly here, it just says give up bad actions. The process of giving up bad actions includes accumulating virtue, because again, to give up bad actions, one also needs to purify, and within purification are the four opponent purification is done by means of the four opponent powers, of which the antidotal power is accumulation of merit. Also, the opponent power of restraint, or the promise, that is the mind of ethical restraint, the mind of I will restrain myself from crossing the boundary between what's ethical and unethical. So the mind of ethics is explicit within the four opponent powers too.
Now, the other day, the Kiwu Chungu, the Tumwa Lamy Rimba, Yamden Jeg, Tanda Ningbo Randi, Su Duish in the Sungutua, Sitan Yakon Masam Dana, Chiwa Mitawa Temba, and then Chiwa Mitawa Temba, and then down and then under Dunga Samba. Della Dene, Chitin Chetti, Chetti. Dele Diganas later some done it, then Digong get to chairs or what it is. Or did Jesna dinner, Dinani, Chiwa Mitawa Temba, Mandu Dunga Samba, and then Cedilla Lolone, and Chima Tony Yulacheva, then Jamdra Tumua, did Samba, Jamdra Cheva, then later Samba, then Digong get to Cheva, setting on the then Marson, December Druk to Adi. The Druk deep, that is give to me, got to Tumua.
So as we are now with this new chapter, we are entering into a major outline. So we're transitioning from one major outline into another. Progressing, to express it differently, from one major part, one major focus of our spiritual training into another. So what we're looking at here in this entire paragraph and thus far is this process of transitioning from the one focus into developing a new focus, or maybe express it differently, developing our one focus far more broadly. So this is what we're going to head towards, is developing a far broader outlook. To do so, we are first now, Lama Tsongkhapa reminds us of what we have been meditating on. So we've been meditating on the trainings that are shared with or common with a practitioner of initial capacity. So what are these shared or common practices? So primarily, the impermanence of this precious human life, that is one, that leads to potentially one of two directions, and we look primarily there at the lower realms to give rise to determination. I do not want that to happen. How can I close the door to such a possibility? Where can I go for protection? That's then that of refuge. And we turn for refuge to the three jewels. And that gives us the strength of mind, the confidence that I have support. I'm not alone in this perilous position. I have support and I can ensure good rebirth. With the confidence refuge brings, we then are open and receptive and eager for teachings, and we turn to those on karma. And here we learn about the non-virtue to refrain from, and what is non-virtue and why to refrain from it, and then how to purify non-virtue already accumulated, as well as accumulate virtue. And there was the section there in what it means to develop the 10 virtues. So with these then are the major trainings that are, these are the trainings of a practitioner of initial capacity that are shared with or common to those who have a goal beyond merely a good rebirth of liberation or enlightenment. These are the trainings that are shared with them. So these are the six practices that are common or shared with a practitioner of initial capacity. So I'll say them again because I missed one. So the first is the impermanence of this precious human rebirth. The second then is the real possibility of falling into the lower realms, where we looked at the suffering of the lower realms. Then the one I missed was that gives rise to a determination to abandon the concerns of this life and rather think about closing, how to close that door and gaining a freedom from the potential of falling into the lower realms in my next life. So abandoning the concerns or abandoning primarily concerned with the concerns of this life. That's the third. Impermanence, lower realms, abandoning the concerns of this life is the third. Then goes to protecting refuge, the fourth. And then karma. And karma is the presentation both, well, primarily on non-virtue, but also virtue, as well as purification within there. So within the karma chapter, there will be two key practices, that of abandoning non-virtue and accumulating virtue, and secondly, that of purification. So these then are the six common practices or shared practices that all practitioners engage in, that are common to a practitioner of initial capacity. That then is a brief summation of what we started to look at in April last year and concluded 2 weeks ago, the trainings that are shared with the practitioner of initial capacity. So we've looked at it in some detail, and the reason I went through it so slowly is so that you have time to engage in these reflections. And in this way, when you hear about the training shared with practitioner of initial capacity, there's something that will arise in your mind. And likewise, when there's a brief presentation like this, you will have these teachings about a year and a half to call on. So therefore, these indispensable foundational trainings, you have some familiarity with. So apologies for the re-summation of what we spent a year and a half on, but the foundational practices are indispensable. It is the foundation upon which everything else will come. The foundation without that, the others will not come about. Hence we spend so much time on that. The text continues, by then putting effort into accomplishing virtue, which is then based on those trainings, those six trainings, you will indeed attain the state of the fortunate rebirth. So attain an excellent rebirth. The next sentence starts with the word however. So this word however is one of importance, because whilst, as we saw in the previous sentence, by training in the way that we've been looking at for the last year and a half, you will definitely gain an excellent rebirth through such trainings. However, And now we come into this transition, because here Lama Tsongkhapa then points out that that does not mean you gain freedom from suffering, not at all. So this word, this bridging word, however, it does not serve to deprecate what one has achieved, so these good qualities one has developed, but it serves to point that do not rest on your laurels, do not think what I've done is sufficient. Because through training well in what we've been looking at for the last year and a half, through training well in that way, you close the door to rebirth in the lower realms, and therefore experiencing all those sufferings of the lower realms. But you're still trapped in samsara. You will still suffer, because gaining rebirth in the higher realms, whilst desirable, whether born as a human or god, one will still suffer. Through training in the way presented thus far, one will gain temporary liberation from the lower realms. But one has not gained any liberation from the sufferings of the higher realms. The sentence then continues, however, that is not considered sufficient here. So this is important, because whilst through training well, one has closed the door to rebirth in the lower realms in one's next life, one is therefore temporarily freed from the suffering of the lower realms, in that one will not be born there. One is not at all freed from suffering. We have not gained freedom from the sufferings of humans. This we know from our own lived experience. And if born as a god in our next life, we will also suffer in the way that gods do. So wanting happiness, wanting to be freed from suffering, do not be complacent. Do not think that what you have done is sufficient. It is the indispensable foundation, but it is not sufficient. One needs to train further.
The dear near said in this person Lamdim di Sungi Kablas, Lamdim di Las or Dir said, D. Lofton Tumbi Kabla Carson, Jesam Yutat, he would show two more Lamidim, but they can't disam Yigmares and disam Yigmadigan Lofton Chevores, a cohort, dear near said, Lamdim dir, and Ma Lamidim, but then had that he would show two more Lamidim, but some danger shall go, Mar, that in a ya, D. Lofton said, ya. That means you better culture was under that. Give you chunga the tumor with somebody, yes, that the she can't share about it. Give you chunga the tumor, let me remember somebody, Paulo Chang, DJ, DJ, so chela, then it, ding the tumor, coa tadale, shamble lobby, somebody, she said that, you know, give you ding the tumor, somebody said it, Kuvi Duma tadale, turn the shamble, tell a target somebody get it. Give you ding the tumor, new coa. Kowa tada la shenpa lobi ge samba jene es zade.
Just concluding that sentence. However, this is not considered sufficient here. Here I'm referring to in the lamrim. So, because the lamrim is the stages of training the mind in order to attain Buddhahood. This is not sufficient to bring that about. So one needs to train further in order to fulfill one's actual goal of becoming a great being, a being who brings tremendous benefits into the lives of others. So do not be complacent, but recognize the indispensable foundation that you have developed. And then Lama Tsongkhapa continues, rather, after you develop the attitude in common with persons of initial capacity, you develop the attitude in common with persons of intermediate capacity. So here you can see that this paragraph is called a transition. This is where we're transitioning from the trainings that are shared with practitioners of initial capacity to those that are shared with a practitioner of intermediate capacity, which counteracts clinging to cyclic existence as a whole.
Kovi, 담보
we recognize clearly the transition from the trainings that are shared with the practitioner of initial capacity into the training shared with the practitioner of intermediate capacity. But in the next sentence, Lama Tsongkhapa then shows the actual purpose of his composition, the actual purpose of the entire Lamrim tradition. So continuing to read. Based on cultivating the goal of this section now, based on cultivating the foundational trainings of the practitioner of intermediate capacity, you will develop bodhicitta and be led onto the paths of persons of great capacity. So here is making clear the section I'm about to present. This section is a further part to the indispensable foundation that practitioners of the Mahayana require. One has to give rise to a deep revulsion to samsara, and with and from that, an abiding determination to gain freedom from suffering, in order to give rise to the wish, I will free others from suffering. One needs to know what it is that beings need freedom from. So one starts by looking at one's own situation, and when truly recognizing it, one can then raise one's focus and say, not just myself, I am taking responsibility for all. So this then is the link to what will come later.
Whilst one may well have
the aspiration to attain the goals of the Mahayana, to engage in the trainings which are unique to Mahayanas, the practitioner of great capacity, it's indispensable to develop this foundation. which means one has to train in the practices shared with or common to practitioners of intermediate capacity. So the approach here is consistent or similar in that through training in the first part, the practices shared with practitioners of initial capacity, through developing that, going through those trainings, one develops a determination to strive for an excellent rebirth. And this comes together with a lack of interest in this life, not a lack of interest, but not seeing the attainment of this life's pleasures and overcoming this life's problems as of much importance. But what is of importance is gaining an excellent rebirth. So in the same way, one developed that foundation. Now that foundation gets developed far, far more broadly in the training shared with the practitioner of initial capacity, where one comes to see that actually, no matter how many excellent rebirths I gain, that is not enough, or that is insufficient, because I will continue to suffer. Not only will I continue to suffer in these excellent rebirths, but rebirth after rebirth, I will still be in a precarious situation that perhaps I will fall into the lower realms, because I haven't really gained freedom from the lower realms. There's always still that possibility. So not only will I be suffering in the higher realms, but I am not out of danger of falling into the lower realms. Therefore, that too is insufficient. I need to gain complete freedom from cyclic existence. And this is how, through training in the next set of trainings, one lifts one's vision beyond cyclic existence in its entirety. At first, one lifts one's vision beyond this mere life, and now one trains to lift one's vision beyond cyclic existence, or a stream of lives, beyond that completely, to gaining freedom. So then the text continues. Therefore, train in the attitude common to persons of intermediate capacity. Even though you attain the state of a god or human in this manner, so that's through training the training shared with the practitioner of initial capacity, you do not pass beyond compositional suffering. So this is the compositional suffering or compounded suffering. One has not yet gained freedom from suffering. As long as one is born in cyclic existence, one is subject to suffering. Even if one is not suffering from the coarsest levels, one is still subject to compositional suffering. Whilst we haven't covered it thus far, you'll be aware of the threefold division of suffering: the suffering of physical and mental pain, the suffering of transient happiness, and all pervasive suffering of conditioning. So this is referring to, of those three, the third. So it's called different things. So here, So what I often say is compositional suffering, they've translated as compositional suffering. What I often say is suffering of conditionality, just a different way of saying it, a suffering that comes about when those conditions are gathered. And then sometimes the term all-pervasive is included. All-pervasive compositional suffering, or all-pervasive suffering of conditionality, or just compositional suffering, different ways to express the same thing. So when one sees, so I'll just use the translation of the text, compositional suffering, if one sees that, or one sees all pervasive compositional suffering, whichever one may see, then the meaning is the same. It's just an abbreviation. So the additional meaning that comes from the term all pervasive is just to indicate that compositional suffering pervades the entirety of samsara. So samsara can be presented in the terms of the three realms. So the desire realm, the form realm, and the formless realm. So in the desire realm, all three types of suffering are prevalent. The suffering of physical mental pain, the suffering of transient happiness, and all pervasive suffering. But in the form and formless realms, the suffering of physical mental pain and the suffering of transient happiness isn't experienced. So the beings, for the period of time that they are born in the form or formless realms, they do not suffer from physical mental pain and the suffering of transient happiness, but they do still suffer. And that is experienced through the all pervasive compositional suffering. So therefore, wherever one is born within cyclic existence, propelled by karma and afflictions, one will suffer. So this is the meaning of the term compositional suffering, or if in its expanded form, all pervasive compositional suffering. Continuing, firstly, the word therefore. So therefore means, therefore, Wherever we are in cyclic existence, we will still suffer. Because of that, therefore, it is a mistake to consider that state to be naturally happy. So we all want to experience happiness. And we run after happiness, we grasp at happiness. And when we achieve something that we longed for, we gain a pleasurable feeling, we think this is happiness. But the text continues, in actuality, it is devoid of happiness. In other words, in reality, it is not happiness. This is a, it says there above, it is a mistake. So it's a mistaken conception to believe that the happiness that is experienced in cyclic existence, that is experienced in samsara, is actually happiness, or is in actuality happiness. Because it in actuality or reality, is not so. Because this mistake comes about thinking, but this happiness is worth grasping at because it will make me happy. But the reality, it never will. It will never lead to lasting happiness. Because, now we continuing, and in the end, it is bad because you will certainly fall into the lower rebirths again. So no matter what happiness experience we strive for, and achieve, in the end, death will come. And when death comes, as ordinary samsaric beings, there remains the possibility that this may be our last life for a while in the higher realms and we fall to the lower realms. Or we gain a rebirth again somewhere in the higher realms, but we'll still continue to suffer like we have in this life. So therefore, the happiness that we experience in actuality is not happiness because it does not last. Now we've concluded the transition between, or transition from the training shared with a practitioner of initial capacity into the trainings of a practitioner of intermediate capacity. And tomorrow we'll start to look at those actual the actual practices or trainings of a practitioner of intermediate capacity. So that we'll start at tomorrow. But where tonight has been particularly useful is in the recap of the training shared with the practitioner of initial capacity. So you've all heard these in some detail now over the last year and a half. So to be reminded of this is good. Because this is the foundation that is required for the next set of teachings to actually arise within oneself.
Oh, yeah.
Then thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I did you what you do.
There's a question somewhere.
Just listening to your description of the initial capacity to know about not being interested in pleasures of this world and not being particularly affected by adverse suffering and so on. Is it fair to say, perhaps you'll go into this anyway in tomorrow's presentations, but is it fair to say that reaching the initial capacity is much harder than from having less than initial capacity to get into the person of intermediate capacity?
Mm-hmm.
이디 당보 자야데 깔레 카슈르와 답변은 아주 로정으로 신에 지게 이기를 샤베네 당보 마신와 자야데 깔레 카슈르와 땡근 가서 장기 장기 진도 거 레라야 두어 디 티처로 섬다데 다레 코스 당보 레 당보 기부 중요한 믿음 또 자야데 깔레 카슈르
It's really an excellent question because there's a lot of truth in what you're saying. What you're saying really is valid. So if you think of at a point in your formal education where you're starting to study something that was quite daunting, the first extensive period was really tough because you didn't have a clue what was going on. But as you got more knowledgeable, more skilled in it, more proficient in it, then it started to become very enjoyable and you started to progress much faster. So initially getting going was difficult, but once you got quite proficient, then the topic would be is much easier to attain. So I think that is in general across many fields of deep study. And in particular in this instance, where one only really knows the happiness of this life, one has not come to experience the greater happinesses. Those are, we only come to hear about in theory. We only really know these pleasures. So to recognize these pleasures as the happiness of this life as not really being happiness, this is hard. This is hard. Yeah.